That's what we do. News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
That's the weekend. I thought we'd play a little amplified electric guitar. What do you think? At 12:15, the gateway to the weekend is open. I kicked it open just moments ago if you wanted to know what that breeze was. We're ready to enjoy ourselves. The weekend is here. And today, for the agenda, I'd like you to consider this. Training. That is the action of teaching a person a particular skill or a type of behavior. Training. Now, I've never done such a thing, but others have, proving in our nation of functioning idiots and maladjusted morons and troublesome mental midgets and inspired yahoos and acerebic hayseeds, some few genetically superior humans, actually known as Homo sapiens, can actually master the parlor trick of learning something, remembering it, using it responsibly in the treacherous outer world, and then being able to recreate the steps that lead to a perfect recreation of that action to the point where someone might actually declare that they know it well enough to do it sometime, and maybe sometime again. Yesterday, a train hit a car right on the tracks in Miller Street. Surprise, idiots, morons, yahoos, this is not the training I'm referring to. That's a different kind of train. The PUD trains their own. They're professionally prepared to learn, to remember, and to recreate that new skill and that newfangled concept for the betterment of themselves and for you, the public at large. You can train for skill, train of thought where your brain should be, train with weights and pulleys until you're pumped, train as the choo-choo train. Which will it be, trainers? Which do you want? Well, we're soon to find out. Let's meet our special guest. His name is Dave Parkhill, and when it comes to training, he's the safety training administrator of the P, the U, and the D, and he's in our studios now. Dave, welcome to the show, welcome to the station, and welcome to the safety that you helped create.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So we were talking just before I turned on the microphones here about the fact that the people at the PUD seem to love their jobs. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. We do love our jobs. It's the best job in town. I've been fortunate to work there for over 21 years. Love getting up every day and going to work, and it's just a great, great, great place to work.
Probably people driving down Miller right now, not stopping for the train and saying, how come I don't have a job like that? How come I don't jump out of bed and want to go to work?
Well, it's as I mentioned, it's a great place, and I'm in charge of our district apprenticeship program, speaking of training.
Yes.
And yesterday was the 62nd anniversary of our apprenticeship program. We started October 18th, 1956.
Wow. And yeah, the Everly Brothers were on the charts.
That's right. That's right. And since that time, we've had 334 employees go through and graduate from one of the district's 8 apprenticeship programs.
What do they become when they become an apprentice?
Well, we've got 8 different programs. We have Generation Wireman, Generation Mechanic, Lineman, Substation Wireman, Operator, Meterman, Technician, as well as water technician. And so those are the 8 programs we have. Currently, we have 17 of our employees enrolled in 4 of our programs. We have 12 generation mechanic apprentices, 2 generation wireman apprentices, 2 lineman apprentices, and finally we have a technician apprentice. So it's exciting times right now at the PUD, and especially for our apprentices.
And especially when the power goes out, now we know who we can count on to get that power back on, somebody who's been trained to know how to do it.
Absolutely. And what's nice about this, first of all, I want to give a big shout-out to our commissioners, Steve Wright, our general manager, as well as our senior management team, because in 2011, we had a major revitalization of our apprenticeship program. And since that time, we've had over 50 of our employees complete one of the apprenticeship programs. And you're right. It is a value for our customer owners, and we're getting the cream of the crop employees. That's what's nice about these apprenticeship jobs, is we will get the best of the best. For example, we just posted a Generation Wireman Apprentice Trainee position, and we had over 130 applicants for one job.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, and as I mentioned, we are getting the best of the best. But what's nice about that is it's going to give us that employee to help improve the safe and reliable service to our community. And the investment, as I stated before, that our commissioners and our senior team the investment of our employees is just fantastic.
And that allows you to hire from within, I assume.
We can hire from within, but we also hire external applicants as well. And one nice thing about our apprenticeship program is we encourage local counties to apply. Chelan County, Douglas County, Kittitas County, Okanagan, and Kittitas County. We definitely encourage them to apply for these positions.
So what's the last job that came open, and how did the training help that person who won that job to take advantage of his training?
The last apprenticeship jobs that were open, there were actually four positions. They were generation mechanic apprentice trainee positions, and now those four are involved in the mechanic apprenticeships.
Right.
There were over 300 applicants for those four jobs, and they completed their year as a trainee, and now they're into their three-year apprenticeship. All of our apprenticeship programs are either a three-year or a four-year program, and it requires 2,000 on-the-job training hours each year, in addition, 144 classroom hours to complete either their three- or their four-year program. And one really exciting thing about our program is that our instructors are all district employees, and a lot of them went through the same program years ago. So they're providing that knowledge that they learned years ago to our current apprentices.
And do you think it takes a good 3 years to become really conversant with all the things that you're responsible for after you've trained?
Oh, definitely. Great example. Our mechanic apprentices, as I stated, they are going through a total of 4 years, time as a trainee and their 3 years as an apprentice, to know every single turbine at Rock Island Dam, Rocky Reach Dam, Chelan Dam, because it does take a lot of schooling to know how those operate in case they do break down, that we need to fix those. And so it definitely takes a three-year program, if not a four-year program, to learn how to repair those turbines, because they're pretty complex.
That equipment is custom made specifically for that site, is it not?
So oh, definitely.
It's not like you can look up in the catalog and see what the variance is. It's not going to be there.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to go through the whole process and go through all the different on the job training hours. They're going to get hours in learning about rotating equipment and welding and grinding and cutting and just blueprint reading and what have you. So if something does happen to one of the turbines, they can go in, and they've already done it. They're hitting the ground running, and that's what's exciting about this program is that we are keeping these employees here. Our apprenticeship program, we looked at data over the last 15 years, and 91% of our employees that went through an apprenticeship are still working in their same position. It's just awesome to see that.
I somehow in my mind thought that safety would be different from skill. They're learning their skill, they're learning their future, they're learning their craft, and to do it safely is not different jobs, that's the same job, right?
You bet. And all of them are taking classes as well. That's another thing that I do is I teach a lot of the safety training here at the PUD. So I'll teach a forklift class or a flagger class or first aid CPR. So they're able to use those skills and those safety classes in their job.
I think we've seen enough videos on YouTube to know that many things can go wrong when you're driving a forklift.
That's correct.
You don't want to learn on the job.
No. You definitely want to know where you're operating the forklifts and to do it safely.
Also, I don't know why, but I have this morbid fear of working with electricity. Even when it's off, I don't think it really is off. And that would drive me crazy working for the PUD. I'd probably not be an ideal employee unless you employ disc jockeys. Do you have disc jockeys? Probably not.
I'll have to take a look at that.
Take a look around. If you would have seen one by now.
Right.
They
right.
carry coffee and they sit in a little room and talk to themselves. but to be safe around electricity is something that you have to have confidence in, to know that you've set it up so you can work on the equipment safely.
That's correct. And they're getting that in the schooling and knowing the safe distances to work, and they're learning really electricity 101. And that way, when they are working around that high voltage, they're in a safe environment, they have the correct personal protective equipment, and we definitely emphasize that.
So you work pretty much injury-free for the most part, and I'm sure that you're very proud of that.
We have a fantastic safety and health department, and we really, really, our goal is that all of our employees go home as good or even better than when they got to work. And safety is a big deal.
Someone's listening to us right now. They're probably saying, I should be working for the PUD. I'm spinning my wheels over here working for whoever. How did they get involved?
Best thing to do is to go onto our website, chelanpud.org, and at the very top is a link that says careers. And click on that, and that will show if there's any positions available. And it's definitely a competitive position. Who we're looking for, we want to hire the best qualified candidate and definitely encourage at least 2 years of college or a trade school or any type of military background with a technical emphasis, at least 6 months of a physically demanding job in either construction or a maintenance environment, for example, electrical, building, trades, automotive, HVAC. And then math is a very, very important thing. You need to have good math skills. I could see algebra coming into play because a lot of our apprenticeships have formulas that you need to figure out. So it is good to have those math skills. And then finally, to have experience working in a non-traditional work hour. It's not always going to be 7 to 3:30. You may have to work nights from time to time or a rotating shift. So to have all of those skills before you apply is definitely important to have before you come to work. But it is a fantastic job. One of the best parts of my job is when I get to sit down with these brand new trainees and they know in another couple months I'm going to be an apprentice. And I let them know, I said, you know what? You were hired for a reason. And how does it win to feel a lot? To win the lottery. Speaking of the lottery, as we were talking at before the show.
Dave and I decided to split the $540 million.
You bet. We're going to split it right down the middle.
Dave, it's nice to talk to someone who really loves their job. It's sort of renewing in the fact, you know, people always hate their jobs, hate labor, hate getting up, hate going, love to come home, but not you. And so I salute you and the people at the PUD have created this wonderful environment that you can be so proud of.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
That's Dave Parkhill, Chelan County PUD Safety Training Administrator. You want a job with the PUD? Go to their website. Good luck.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:32 at News Radio 560 KPQ. We've had a lot of politicians on, so we thought we'd do something different today. I got a press release the other day in my email from a group called Down North. They're a Seattle band just getting started, and they had so much energy and so much unique approach to their music that I was interested, so I will listen to it on Spotify. We set up the interview, I watched their videos, and their lead man, the lead singer, which is so often the focus of the band, it's a guy named Anthony Briscoe, who looks a lot more like Cortez Kennedy than does Prince, you know. He's not one of the skinny little guys. He's a big man, and he can dance, and he can sing, and I'm really quite impressed with the whole energy of the outfit called Down North. Besides the lead singer up front with his hot pink pants, there he is. Sounds a little like Michael Jackson there, doesn't he? Besides him up front with his hot pink pants, they've got the guitar, bass, and drums, like a power trio behind him. Truly really quite a simple, interesting, and worthy adventure if you want to get into music. Here's a new band, and here's a new interview with the band. News Radio 560 KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. On the line with me is Anthony Briscoe, the lead singer, and some might say lead dancer also for the new Seattle band, the funk rap punk band called Down North. Anthony, welcome to KPQ. Nice to talk with you.
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Your band is something new, but your band is also something old. You go back to the great days of showmanship and soul music, which I love, and you put a new spin to it. How did that come to be?
Well, you know, I grew up, my grandfather used to always talk to me because he had like a whole bunch of clubs in the Chitlin' Circuit. And he used to talk to me about, you know, James Brown used to come to the club and used to have like, you know, the Commodores and stuff like that. And he would just always used to tell me these stories. And then, you know, growing up in church and stuff like that, you know, you sing and you do stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's always been in me. And when I came to Seattle, you know, to help my mother out a little bit, everybody was telling me about the rock scene and stuff that was there and the music scene and stuff like that. So I went looking, and I found these guys, and, you know, we just hitting it hard.
Now, there's a lot of bands that try to get their start in Seattle, and some do well, and others are never heard of. The interesting thing about your band is that you've got management, you've got a national profile all of a sudden, and you've got a very interesting personality when you guys take the stage. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you practice till it's perfect, then you practice some more.
I always said in a band, we're not practicing, we're rehearsing. Now pay attention.
That is true right there.
Are you guys responsible for all your own material as well, Anthony?
Yeah, we write all of our own originals. You know, I'm always looking for people who are great writers, you know, and songwriters too and stuff like that. I just haven't found nobody yet who, you know, I've really been able to really click with really good. But I think that, you know, there's a place for everybody in, you know, this thing we call music. There's people who write great songs. There's people who perform great songs, you know, and luckily for us and for me, I got some of the greatest musicians I know in this band. And, you know, they're able to come up with creative ideas that also have, like, you know how you get those musicians where, you know, they know too much.
Oh dear.
They know too much. Yeah, it's like they know too much of their instrument, and they're not really playing for the people. They're playing for themselves. They're playing, oh, I can do this cool little lick. You know, I can do this tricky little thing, and they're basically up on stage, you know, playing with themselves, you get what I mean?
The problem with those guys, Anthony, is they play well, but they can't listen to anything. They never hear the other guys
exactly.
In the band.
Exactly. Or they scoff at pop music. But, I mean, some of the greatest musicians, you know, play pop music. You know, you got the Breaking Crew. From, you know, we did all those hits back in the day. Those were great jazz musicians. You had the Funk Brothers. Those were great musicians, you know, who played on those records. And you can hear the difference between what's happening in music today and what's happening, you know, music back in the day, where when they had great musicians creating those songs. And that's what I want to bring back. I want to bring back great musicians creating pop music. You know, instead of just a simplified part, there is some complexity that can be put into pop music, and that's one of the things musically that we're trying to do, not just showmanship-wise. We're trying to also bring, you know, the little paintbrush, you know, to the artistry of this.
For people who haven't seen Down North yet, their videos are available online. Take a look out there. You'll find that it's a power trio in some instances behind you, but also a soul trio behind you, and also like a rhythm section from a recording studio behind you. Three guys can make a lot of music when it's guitar, bass, and drums.
Oh, yeah. If you got the basics down pat, and like I said, if you know your instrument, but you're also able to, you know, like I'm really stickler because we... You know, we've been looking for a keyboard player since our original keyboard player just couldn't, you know, handle the life of being on tour. And, you know, I've been looking for a keyboard player, but I'm happy with what we got right now. But I still feel like, you know, I'm really hard on what musicians we bring in. You can't just be, you know, oh, I can play in, you know, I remember when we were trying out a guitar player and before Nick came in, and we have this song called Danger, and it has this like little, you know, arp in it, right? And all the other players would play this, play our other songs, and hope we don't ask them to play Danger. So they would all come in, and they would try to wow us with their guitar solos and all this stuff. I was like, okay, cool. So because Danger was our hit song, it was played on MTV, he was like, okay, so, you know, can you play Danger? And then they'll attempt to do it, it'll just fail. And then, so when Nick came in, and he was the first song he tried out. He was like, all right, so I want to try the Danger one. I was like, what? It just threw me off, and he just, I was like, okay, you got the job. And it's like, you know, when it comes to, getting casting the right person in the band or something like that, you know within the first 15 seconds. You ain't got to have a long audition. You just know how good the person is but through their talent by just they walk in the room. Same thing with Conrad, our drummer. He came in, and he was like, all right, ready? I was like, okay, well.
Yeah, he's good.
All right. You got the job.
He's good. He's not afraid to hit that snare. I really appreciate that.
Oh, no, he is not afraid. Yeah, and that job, too.
One of the elements about modern music is people always want to know, well, what do you like? What are you doing? Where did you get your inspiration? And there's been a lot of effort to describe your work as punk and soul. Those are both great things. Soul, however, has changed its meaning over the years. When I'm older than you, so I can tell you that soul music, soul music means Otis Redding.
Yeah. Well, to me, the person that Otis Redding got his soul from, which I call the inventor of soul, and that's Sam Cooke.
Absolutely.
You know, Sam Cooke came from church. You know, and that's, I feel like you can't be a soul artist if you ain't never stepped in church. I'm sorry, you can be R&B, you can be, you know, urban, whatever, but you can't call yourself a soul artist if you ain't never shouted. That's just, if you ain't caught the spirit. You know, you ain't put a dollar in a collection plate. Then you is not a soul artist. Sorry, it's just, you know, maybe people gonna bash me for that, call it religious, you know, religious hating or religious love. I don't know. But yeah, you can't call yourself soul music. It's not soul music.
And also the way the gospel music gets twisted around and changed and mutated when it comes out pop music, you forget that it started as a gospel tune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, especially with those chord progressions and stuff. I mean, you used to find the best. I mean, Thailand plays in our drum. He plays in church every almost just about every Sunday, you know. And, you know, you find the best musicians in church. I mean, they just, you're going to have that soul. And you can't come halfway with that. Nope.
There's one more element to your performance, and it could be considered throwback just the same way that soul is a throwback, but it sounds brand new because so many musicians now who have gained popularity have lost their social consciousness along the way, but you guys haven't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the fact is, at the end of the day, you're human, and you can't run away from existing into this world. So, you know, I know some people like, oh, I don't want to hear a musician talk about what his political views and stuff like that is. And I can get that. I can understand that. But, you know, I have this platform and my life is my art. So if something affects me, I'm going to write about it, you know, but I'm not going to do it in a way that just throws it in your face unless I feel I need to throw it in your face, you know. But I'm going to still do it in a way where, you'll be entertained at the end, you know, like what's going on is still a great song that Marvin Gaye sung, even though he didn't write it, but you know, it's still a great song. It had a message in it. And you can relate it to a lot of stuff, you know, but he was talking about certain things at a certain time. And it had to be said. I don't think the world would be the same place if it didn't have what's going on in it and all those other songs in it. Like, people need, in hard times and in good times, music to move them forward, you know, to tell them, you know, it's just like with a comedian. With art, we're the commentators of life, you know, we're the soundtrack, you know, and that's what, you know, to get people through, we have to do what we have to do.
1243 at News Radio 560 KPQ. We're talking with Anthony Briscoe of the Seattle band Down North.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's not the hurricanes. This is Dave Ross on the CBS News Radio.
663 Arts or NumericaPack.org. Sponsored by Van Doren Sales.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
When you prepare yourself for a show, you have to really be ready because you do. You are dancing while you're singing in every number and emphasizing all your lyrics with your physical abilities. That takes a lot of work. I mean, you better be ready. You better be ready to go on stage.
Well, I mean, it's funny because the guys try to mess with me, but I don't move. On a day of a show, I just sit down. And, try not to move as much until, you know, that we step on stage. You know, I don't do the sound checks and stuff like that. It's really low energy, you know, just to get the sound right. And then that's it. The rest is I'm hitting it hard.
And Anthony, did that come natural to you? Did you say, well, I can't sing if I can't dance?
I mean, I feel like people pay the good money to, you know, and money is not an easy thing to get, you know, and it's a commodity, you know. We have to trade the stuff. And, you know, people paying their hard good money to see a band perform their songs, sing, and put together a show. I think I owe them, you know, my best foot forward and hitting hard. So I just think that, you know, they're good at the rest of the bands are good at their, excuse me, let me sit down real quick. All right.
That's okay. I got a question for you. When you started, you guys were broke and didn't have a job. You had a band. Now you're a business and you're receiving accolades. No! Oh God!
Oh man!
Well, okay. The check's in the mail, I guess, is what's happening. But you guys are right on the cusp. So I guess now you have to work harder than ever because you're just making yourself known.
Oh yeah, it's just that the making it was the beginning part. I mean, the hard grind, that's just the beginning part. Once you know you have to prove it. You have to show what all the hype was about. You know, you gotta prove the hype.
A lot of people wonder what the music business has become, and I don't know if I have the answer to that, but what's the music business mean to you now? What's the business part that you're learning?
Numbers matter. Numbers matter. At the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are, like, I went to this conference before, meeting with Sammy and, Wolfson Entertainment and stuff. That's our management company. Great guys. And I went to this conference, Taxi Road Rally, and there was this lady who was a famous songwriter, right? Labels have her write songs for countless people. And she was like, yeah, the labels had me come in, and they want me to write for this girl who's on Instagram, right? And she was excited about it, right? And she was like, yeah, they don't really know if she can sing. They don't really know if she can perform. But they want me to go ahead and write some hit songs for her. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is this where we're at? I was like, no, man. I miss when ugly people used to be on the radio. You know, because that's when the good music. I mean, if you look at the Temptation, them cats were some ugly dudes.
But they can dance.
but they can sing.
That's right.
They can sing. I mean, James Brown was not a pretty guy, but you know, he can dance and perform his tail off. You know, and it, you know, you see a lot of these YouTube videos where you have these people who can sing, but they don't look like superstars. They don't look like, but they can sing you under the table. You know, and they're great singers. And now everybody's, you know, it's like you. With this whole Instagram stuff, you gotta have those numbers in order for them to even look at you now. Which is, I get it, you know, this business is not where it was, 20 years ago. Or even, you know, 25 years ago, or 10 years ago.
It's become a place where you don't have to have talent, but you do have to look like a model.
Yeah, well, it's not even have to look like a model, you just gotta have the numbers. You gotta have like almost a billion followers you know, on Instagram, and then they'll look at you.
That's the voice of Anthony Briscoe, lead singer for the Seattle band Down North. They're just making their way in the business now. Talented, really impressive, and lots of fun to watch and lots of fun to listen to. And that's our show today. We'll be back after this.